Merry Christmas, everyone. It's good to see you all. Let's start off with some prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for gathering us around your Son, around the light of the world, where we can boldly get together and worship you, the life and light of creation. Holy Spirit, I ask that you settle us, settle our minds and our hearts, and allow us to receive all the good things you have for us today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, to start off today's service, I wanted to draw attention to this beautiful altar that Kevin built. And it is beautiful. It is an amazing gift. And we are just so thankful for it. And I was looking up and we found that there are blessings for all of these amazing things that are given to the church to use to worship God and help us in our worship to God. And so today I wanted to start off the service by announcing God's blessing over this altar as a beautiful gift and offering to the Lord to help us worship and engage in worshiping God, the creator of all good things. So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Beloved in the Lord, Moses was commanded by the Lord to receive gifts from the people for the beautification of the sanctuary. Everyone whose heart stirred and whose spirit was moved brought a contribution to the Lord to be used in the Lord's house in all of its services. Since the Lord has taught us in his holy word that everything is sanctified by the word of God and prayer, it is fitting that we bless and sanctify this altar for the use of God's holy house. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let us pray. O God, you have directed us to bring offerings to your glory. We implore you to bless this altar. Grant that it may reflect our love for you, benefit your church, and bring joy to those who use it. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So, thank you, Kevin, for this. And I just love, we're slowly gathering things and making things that beautify this church. We have the stained glass that John Shem helped us make frames for. We have this cross that Matthew's Hope built for us. We have the artwork that Troy made. Like, we have the baptismal font that Kevin did. Like, it's so fun. We're slowly being the people God created us to be, and we're creating beautiful things that we gather around that help us worship God. It's amazing. So thank you all for your gifts. It does not go unnoticed. And we're slowly transforming this into an amazing, beautiful sanctuary, and it's so fun. And we're so thankful for all of it. Well, let us begin with confession and absolution that we need to hear that we are forgiven by God. So on page D in our books, we have the prayer for confession. And let's all pray it together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained minister, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first reading for today is found in Psalm chapter 111. It's on page 292 in your books. So Psalm chapter 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in him. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hand are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your mercy on us. Thank you for continuing to provide for us, to protect us, to keep us safe and healthy. Lord, we praise you. Help us not to forget that you are our God and that you continue to provide every good thing. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated.
I wanted to point out before I continue with our today's readings that all of our readings are songs, or at least portions of them are songs. And I just want that in your mind as we are working through today's reading, is that our response to God, the natural response to God, is song. So our first reading today is Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10 through chapter 62, verse 3. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This is the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. Our next reading is Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him, Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, or sang, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother,
"Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the reading of God's word. So, kids, adults too, have you ever been out somewhere and you got your clothes just filthy, like dirty, and you're out in public and there's no way to change? Have you ever just gotten completely filthy, your clothes are dirty, and you can't do anything about it? So, when I was 8, my parents, my family, and I, we all went to Cedar Point up in Ohio. It is a giant roller coaster theme park, like all the rides are coasters. I was 8 years old. It was my first roller coaster experience. And on the way there, I started not feeling right. I was not feeling good. And who knows? It could have been nerves. Who knows? I get there, and my parents were super excited because they grew up around there, and they loved all of these coasters. And so the first coaster we went on was called the Blue Streak. It's a wooden coaster, and it just beats you up. It is just rocky, shaky, and I went on that, and at the end of it, my head hurt. Like, I did not feel good. But the whole time, they're like, "You're so close to having fun. You're this close to having fun. Push through." And so I tried to push through. My dad finally was like, "Matt, you're holding it all in. You're not screaming. You just need to scream. And you'll really enjoy the ride." And I was like, "Okay, all right, let's do it." And so the next coaster I go on is the Corkscrew. So I do what my dad said, and as we're spinning and flipping on this coaster, I'm screaming, and I'm actually starting to have fun. I'm having a good time. And we get to the end, and we're in these seats where the bar comes down. You can't really turn your head right or left. You're just kind of stuck in these seats. And we come to the end, and we're coasting, and I'm just so excited because I actually enjoyed it. I'm like, "Dad, that was awesome. Dad, you were right. That was so cool. That was fantastic. I'm going to throw up." And all I hear is, "No, Matt, no." And then, all over my clothes in the middle of a theme park that my parents were so excited to take me to. And now I'm covered in my own throw up. Nowhere to go. And so I get out, and I'm stuck in my dirty clothes. Fortunately, I'm pretty sure, I think Grandpa Bob was with us, our grandfather was with us, and he was like, "I'm going to buy you a whole new outfit." Aww. And they had a store where they had like sweaters and sweatpants and stuff, because it's cold and it's Ohio, and he bought me a sweater and a sweatpants that were Peanuts themed, Charlie Brown Peanuts themed, which at the time, I was like vaguely aware of who those people were, but they were all like lined up and had like sunglasses on. They're all looking cool. And that like kind of set a trajectory for my life with Peanuts, which we'll get to later. But this is the reality of our situation. is because of the sin and brokenness of this world, we are all filthy. We are all gross and broken and filthy and stuck and broke. And we do not have the means to clean ourselves up. We need a good father who can get us a new pair of clothes. In Isaiah, in that song, says, he has given us his righteousness. He clothes us in his righteousness. He gives us garments of his salvation. When it's on us to try to clean ourselves up, when we start to recognize how dirty and filthy and gross we are, that we're covered in our own vomit, and we don't know what to do about it, our best response in our brokenness is to isolate from each other. That's our first and best response, is to say, I'm going to just stay away because I don't want to get other people dirty. I'm sinful and broken, and I don't want to hurt other people with my sin, with my godlessness, with my curses, with my inability to rest, with my anger, my lust, my greed. I don't want to put that onto other people, and I don't want to pick up their stuff. And so in our own strength, we isolate, we separate, we keep people at a distance. I mean, this is what monasteries were. It was a way to escape, to stay away. We can't risk being together because our brokenness might rub off on one another. But fortunately, we have a loving Father whose response to us in all of our dirtiness was not to isolate from us. No, he sends his Son to be born into our filth, our sickness, our poverty. This Christmas, we celebrate Jesus being born in a manger, in a cave, surrounded by animals. This is how our God enters our world. He shows up as a human. Because when he looks at us, he sees past all the brokenness. He sees past all the sin, all the rebellion. And he sees the beautiful creatures he made us to be. He says, I'm going to clothe you with my righteousness. I'm going to take your filthy garments, and I'm going to give you new ones. I've come to save you, to restore you, to beautify you. And when Jesus is born in that manger, a new dream is born in our hearts. A dream of a world that isn't sick. A world where we actually can gather together without fear. Enjoy a beautiful creation. Like, imagine, can you guys imagine right now what a world would be like without sickness, without death, without poverty? Who would you be? What would you do? What would your life be about? Can you imagine that? Because it's really hard. And it's okay if you can't. Because we're surrounded by the brokenness and death around us. And it's just constantly bombarding us. But this is why God says, gather around my word. Because I will remind you. I will continue to clothe you with my righteousness. I will continue to remind you that death isn't the end. That this broken world isn't the end.
that the ugliness around us is not God's end goal. That humanity isn't just a disease on the planet. That God is going to restore and beautify this earth. He's going to make humanity the crown jewel, the crown diadem of creation, where we can receive the words from God who says, "You are very good." When's the last time you've heard those words from anyone? Hopefully from your spouse, if you have a spouse. But the words, "You are very good." That's something we desperately crave because we don't feel very good. But Christ shows up in the midst of our despair, of our hopelessness, of our self-hatred. And he says, "No, I made you. I'm restoring you. Here's my righteousness. And I'm saying you are very good." And then he gives us his spirit, which enables us to start to receive that reality. That you are very good. That you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And that spirit calls you and says, "You do not have to live in isolation. You do not have to live alone. You do not have to try to figure things out by yourself, because I didn't create you to do that. I created you to be together, to be with me, to enjoy my beautiful creation, to go and explore and create beautiful things." Like, we start to see glimmers of it. And we go, "All right, Lord, help me believe." Because it's hard to believe. It's hard to hear anything else beyond the news. So help me receive your good news, so that we can gather together and start to live out the reality that we are very good. And we're going to sing about that reality. So, how do you think I felt about the clothes that my grandfather bought me? How did I feel about those clothes?
Very good.
Awesome. They were my favorite clothes for a long time. I wore those way longer than I should have. Like, the sweatpants were kind of up here, and the sweater, I didn't want to give it up, but it was starting to, like, fall apart. I love those clothes. And the clothes that Christ gives us, the righteousness that he gives us, we don't outgrow those. They don't wear out. He's like, "You're going to grow into these." They're a little big. He says, "You're going to grow into these clothes. And they're going to be beautiful. And you're going to love them. They're going to be your favorite clothes. And you're going to sing about them." I started watching The Peanuts after that. And that set a goal in my mind to, I need to learn the piano song Linus and Lucy, which is actually how Adam discovered me the first time. He walked into a room because I was playing that on a piano, because I finally achieved that goal way too early and tapped out a piano pretty quickly after. But good gifts inspire responses, inspire dreams, inspire music. And the gift of Christ to us should inspire songs. Like, most of God's word is songs. Like, the real traditional guys, the real traditional Lutherans, when they read the scripture, they're usually kind of singing it, which I don't have the courage or the know-how to do yet. But it's music. It's inspirational.
It's the natural human response to good gifts as we sing. My good gift right now is Mabel, and I've created more songs in the last 5 months than I have most of my life just for Mabel, because I love singing to her. And so our response, the people God is creating us to be, is people who can start to receive the good things and then just naturally burst out into song, like we're in some awesome musical, which I'm slowly starting to understand musicals because of my wife. But this is the gifts that God is giving us. This is the reality that God's leading us into. It's a beautiful creation, one that he will come and restore. And so we will continue to sing about his goodness. We will continue to praise him until our righteousness burns out the darkness in this world. Until Christ reunites us all together in a beautiful, recreated earth where we are free to be the people that he created us to be. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for seeing something good in us. Thank you for risking everything to be with us. Because we are by nature sinful and corrupt. We are rebellious. We doubt every good thing you have to offer us. It is difficult for us to receive gifts. So, Lord, I'm asking that you fill us with your Spirit, that we can slowly begin to trust you. Slowly look to you for good things. And that you begin this dream in our hearts, that you clarify it so that we can begin to imagine a world without sickness, without sin, without death, without the devil. And we can begin to live in that freedom, in that life, in that righteousness. Lord, give us that today, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So as part of our response to the goodness of Christ, to the goodness of the Father and the Holy Spirit, we confess who our God is together, because we need to be reminded. Who is this God that we serve? Who is this God that cares so much about us? And so recently, we have been working through the Nicene Creed. So today, we're going to continue that. And the language in it is really beautiful. And I love the description of Jesus as the light of light, the light that breaks into our darkness, and the Holy Spirit as the Lord and giver of life. Because we need life right now. And the reality that the Holy Spirit is in each one of us today, giving us that life and sustaining that life that we desperately need. So on page C is the Nicene Creed. Let's confess this together. Christians, what is it that you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
As another way of us to experience God's good things and to as a response to him giving us everything that we need, we offer up to God our tithes and offerings. And what this starts to do is it shifts money and provision and puts it in its right place. And so instead of being people who hoard and believe the lie that we have to take care of ourselves, we start to let go a little bit and go, I think God's going to take care of me. I really think that God has everything and that I can trust him. And so we invite you to give online on our website, or we have the plates up there and you can give up there. But this is a way for us to show that, like, Lord, we're starting to trust you. We're starting to live into the reality that we are people who are cared for, who have a father, who will buy us new clothes. This is who we are. Also, we want to take the time to pray for our congregation and pray for our city and our country, all the things that are going on. And I do want to give anyone the chance, if there's anything right now that you want us as a congregation to pray for, let us know and we can pray for it. Dad.
My buddy Tom.
And then in general, I'm just going to pray for health and provision. And did you have something? Well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift our requests to you, and we thank you for hearing them. Lord, we lift Tom and Cheryl up to you. We ask, Lord, that you heal Tom. The Holy Spirit, you are the Lord and giver of life, that you give and breathe your life into Tom, that you swallow up the death in him with life, and that you heal the tumor on his kidney. And Lord, that you be with him and that your presence is felt and known in their house. And then Lord, we ask that you be with Alex, that you keep her safe and bless her during her surgery, and that it is successful, and that it sets up a new healthy trajectory for her life. And Lord, just continue to bless her in everything that she does. And allow her to feel and hear from you that she's very good, that you love her, and that you care about her. And then, Lord, we praise you for the new servo and the beautiful life that you have given. And, Lord, we ask that you keep baby servo safe and healthy. And allow baby servo to continue to grow and develop with health. Give Anthony and Walker your comfort and peace during all of this. And Lord, we recognize and confess that there are other babies with you, and you're caring for it. And then, Lord, we ask that you be with Adam and the other pastors in our network, that you give them clarity of the future and the vision, and that they can come to a unified decision led by your Spirit, led by your Spirit and love. And we lift all these prayer requests in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's respond to all of these prayers with the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. The Lord's Prayer, found on page A, if you need it. So let's pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now we move into the Lord's Supper, a meal that God invites us to and says, I am with you. I am present. I am among you. Take and eat. Gather together. I am giving you my body, my blood, so that you can have my health, my life, my love. That you can be unified to me and to one another. So on the night that our Lord was betrayed, he took bread, and after breaking it, he said, This is my body, given for you. Take and eat of it. In the same manner, after he had poured the wine, he said, This is my blood, which is a new covenant, poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink of it. Lord, I ask that you meet with us today, that we can sense your presence with us, that you are Lord of Lords, light of light, very God of very God, and you can be present among us in bread and wine, because your word says so. Lord, let us be nourished by your presence today. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. May he smile upon you and beautify you now and forever. Amen.